From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we welcome Matt Wheeler. Matt is a rather prolific singer-songwriter from Lancaster who recently released a brand new EP called Indigo, within a year of his last full-length album, Strings and Wires. He's also a true advocate of the Lancaster music scene who spends a lot of time organizing shows and promoting others.
One of the really great perks of being a musician in my own right is that, especially the last couple of years, I try to book shows like there were two or three acts on the bill. So a good part of the time, I get to be a fan as well.
Coming up, it's singer-songwriter Matt Wheeler. We also have a special bonus guest. Jamie Fuddy from The Fridge joins us for a chat about their Music Monday concert series that has already hosted such notable regional acts as Toy Soldiers, J.P. Harris, Joe Fletcher, and The Districts. And if that wasn't enough, we're skirting the curtain. Today we welcome Joanna Underhill back to the program for a look at what's going on around the Lancaster theater scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. On Tuesday, February 25th, get down to Marion Courtroom to help Gordon Smoker celebrate the release of the new Hickory Town Ruckus album called Old City Night. Gordon will be a guest on this program in a couple weeks to talk about the record. It's the Hickory Town Ruckus, Marion Courtroom, Tuesday night the 25th. The show is free. The CDs are only $5. And coming up this Friday, February 28th, it's a big Lancaster rock show at the Chameleon Club featuring Jesse Baker, Brethren, Ducky and the Vintage, and our friends Derry Miller and The Vale. Tickets are only $10 in advance. They're $12 at the door, and those doors open at 6 p.m. That's Friday night, February 28th at the Chameleon. Then on Saturday night, March 1st, our friends at Tri-State Indie welcome the Italian electronic indie band Joycut, along with Lancaster's Bells and York's Younger Me. That show's at the Depot in York, and it starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are only $6 in advance. They're $8 at the door. It's Joycut, Bells, and Younger Me at the Depot, Saturday, March 1st. Today on the program, we're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill. Joanna is the Vice Chair of Creative Works of Lancaster, a teaching artist at the Fulton's Academy of Theater, and Assistant Director at the Philadelphia Alumni Writers House at Franklin and Marshall College. Each month, she joins us for a look at what's going on in the Lancaster theater scene. We're skirting the curtain on Around the Wood Stove. Joanna, welcome back to the program. Let's talk about theater.
All right.
What a great idea.
What do you know? For skirting the curtain?
What a novel
Let's
idea.
Let's do some theater. There's actually a theme to the plays I have to tell you about this
Oh, that's
time.
Awesome. What's going on?
They are all works that were adapted from other, like, original source material, all by coincidence.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like some sort of Lancaster thing, like the stars aligned.
The stars aligned.
In this geographical location.
Exactly.
Everybody in the theater world needed to, you know.
Everyone's kind of worn out from original material, and they thought, you know, in the dark of winter, let's just take something that's already been done in another format, rethink it, and do it our way.
All right, enough with the suspense.
All right, the first one is a play at Millersville University called A Lesson Before Dying. And it was written by the playwright Romulus Linney, who's amazing.
It's a great name.
Isn't that a fantastic name? He's no longer with us, but he was with us for quite a while. But look him up, everyone. He's a great playwright. But it was adapted from the book by Ernest J. Gaines that came out in 1993.
Okay.
It's directed by Amanda Kemp, who Lancaster audiences know well. She's a writer and director and performer.
Yep, she's been a guest on this program.
She has.
And has participated in all of our Lancaster's 24-hour plays.
I know. I believe that's how I first got to know Amanda.
I'm a big fan.
Me too. That's why I wanted to tell you about it. So she's directing at Millersville University.
Cool.
It's a play about a young black man is condemned to death. He says he's innocent, but they're still going to kill him. And his godmother asks a local teacher, who's also a black man, who's left to get a degree to become teacher, but come back to this plantation in the South. The godmother asks the teacher, she says, he's going to die, but can you teach him to die like a man? And so that's his lesson before dying. And it takes place, it's after World War II, but pre-civil rights, and it's just a look at the South and relations. And it sounds like really kind of great and interesting. So that runs from February 28th to March 9th, and tickets are available through Millersville.
Awesome. What else is going on?
Well, then we have the Fulton Opera House again, Fulton Theater, and they're doing the musical Young Frankenstein, which, as many people know, is actually based on the film Young Frankenstein, which came out in, I believe, 1974. This is the musical version by Mel Brooks and Thomas Meehan, and Thomas Meehan actually has a great pedigree. He's won Tony Awards for writing the books for Annie and for The Producers and for Hairspray.
Awesome.
I hear it's really fun and great. That is March 11th through the 30th. And then also at the Fulton, continuing in their family theater series, they have another play based on a book called Pinkalicious, which was a well-known children's book.
It's great. I've never heard of that
book. It's great. I hadn't either, actually. I loved looking it up. It's about a little girl who loves pink, and she eats too many pink cupcakes, and she turns pink herself.
My kids are older now for children's, mm-hmm. and I feel like I missed a lot of children's books. You brought up a few books in the past couple of years here on the show, and it's like I missed that. What was I doing?
I don't know. I guess they just came out after we were grown up.
Well, yeah, but my kids just went through this about, you know.
Yeah,
10
you
years
probably
ago.
Introduced them to the books you grew up with.
I guess,
and you missed a whole
right.
Because there's a lot of stuff I missed too. I don't know, because I'm like a huge Roald Dahl fan, but there's a lot of kids who don't read that anymore, but my parents loved
it. So. Got it. So it just skips over.
Yeah. But I would say you're never too old to go read a children's book. Actually, I go pick these things up and I read them a lot.
That's cool. And this is Pinkalicious.
Pinkalicious, my friends. And that is Saturdays, March 15th through the 29th at 11 a.m.
Anything else going on?
And then there's one last one over at EPAC, Africa Performing Arts Center. And they're doing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which actually a lot of people think of as a movie, but actually it was a book first.
Okay.
That came out in 1962. Then it was a play in 63. And then it was a movie.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
I know, interesting.
And when does that run up there?
That is March 20th to April 5th. And I just found out, actually, it's being directed by Tim Riggs, who is well known as a musician and actor. And this is his Ephrata directing debut.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it should be exciting.
Well, it's good stuff coming up. Thanks so much for joining us once again to skirt the... Well, that doesn't make any sense to say it that way, does it?
The skirt the curtain?
We're skirting the curtain. It's Joanne Underhill. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason.
Learn more about the Fulton's Academy of Theater at thefulton.org and keep up with our friends at Creative Works of Lancaster at their website, creativelancaster.org. Each month, Joanna joins us with a look at all that's happening in the Lancaster theater scene. Lancaster-based singer-songwriter who has done as much work for the Lancaster music scene as he has for his own music. He's done a tremendous amount for both, along with playing a ton of shows around the region and releasing a full-length album plus a brand new EP within a year. Matt also helps organize and promote shows at a variety of venues and is always eager to help out his fellow musicians. We're lucky to have Matt Wheeler in the Lancaster music scene, and I'm lucky to have him here right now on Around the Wood Stove. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Jason.
Welcome back.
Yes.
I want to talk about this brand new EP you have out called Indigo. Mm-hmm. This was released in December of last year. And I guess the first question is why release an EP so soon after the Strings and Wires record came out, which was earlier in 2013?
Well, basically what happened is I released Strings and Wires in April of 2013, but so much of it had been tracked and recorded 2 or 3 years before by my friend Chris Keeney. A lot of circumstances came up to where we just weren't able to release it until, like, we've been looking at like the summer before, the fall before, and we wanted to do Kickstarter for it as well. So they had to have some lead up there. So it ended up coming out right around the time of Launch Music Conference. But actually, that was first when we had it available. So most of the songs I'd written, like, say, 4 years ago or so, and I had recorded them something like, you know, my tracks, at least my parts of the tracking, like 2 or 3 years before.
Wow. That's a long process.
It is. And I mean, it's the recording itself didn't take as long as that. It's just all the schedule stuff just didn't work out. The Indigo EP came together quickly, and it featured a lot of songs I had been playing live since then, a lot of my more recent stuff. And I really liked what my friend Ben Young had done with the Strings EP, which that one had been done entirely live. You know, three guys, three songs, three takes each, one Sunday evening, and that is what you have.
Yeah.
But I love what Ben did with it. The Indigo EP is a little bit more constructed. Like, it wasn't all everybody you hear on it was doing everything exactly the same time, but it was more like chunks that were added together. As far as the songs themselves, like, Indigo ended up being the star because I had played at this songwriters round at the community room on Prince back at the old location.
Right.
And I actually meant to do the song second to last. I got my set order wrong. Ended up doing Indigo last. And on a whim, I was like, this room of like 50 people and everyone was pretty attentive. So I thought, why don't I go ahead and just throw this out here for you guys? Why don't you sing this part? It's just like this. And I played the melody. I'm, you know, oh, Indigo. And like, you guys try it. And to my surprise, like 50 people, you know, singing it back. It was like, wow, this is pretty good. And it comes up like 10 times in the song. So, I mean, people just, you know, they really got into that and really liked it. So from that moment, I was like, I'm going to do this song this way every time, as long as I've got an attentive audience. And I do.
That's great.
And that one sticks with you. So when I thought of putting things together, I thought, besides the fact I think the word Indigo itself just sounds so cool, I thought it'd make a great title, and just everything else came together pretty much that way. We ended up working with Ben Young, who had done the Strings EP.
That was actually where I was going to go with this, is how was that EP recorded? And by who?
Oh, the Strings EP?
No. In the Indigo, the new
one.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. That'd be by Ben Young.
So he did that one again.
Yeah. Okay. I'd worked with my friend Chris Keeney, did the Strings and Wires album. So, I mean, it sounds pretty different that way. It's much more live. But the Indigo EP is more filled out than pretty much anything else we've done. But I wanted to go with the strings emphasis too, that the Strings EP had. Hell and Light from XPN featured Avalanche the 1 month because, yeah, she had put in her quote, which also compared me to Josh Ritter, which is probably not even near accurate, but very much appreciated. It's at the top of my website. She was saying how the strings really caught her attention. And when Caleb and Andrew, my violinist and cellist respectively, play along with me, like I could just sit and just listen to what they do.
Yeah.
And since they tracked separately from me and Sean playing drums, the two of them tracked together live over what me and Sean had done same evening at the Candy Factory, actually. And so I did get to just listen to what they were doing, just closing my eyes and like listen to like them class up my songs that much. So, and then we had Canyon come and do backing vocals as well, you know, on a separate occasion. And yeah, just the whole thing was a really cool process. And it really did come together quickly because we didn't start recording it until like Labor Day. Like, we didn't track anything until like Labor Day weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, you know, to the release show being in December, it was a quick turnaround.
So was Canyon the backup vocal that we hear throughout the, there's a couple songs, I believe.
Yeah, she was on Indigo and River.
Okay.
Because in a bit of serendipity, that shows the Lancaster music scene, which she, even though she's from Connecticut, is still kind of part of that. Launched this last year, she was playing a set right after we were playing one, and we closed our set with Indigo, and she was getting up and ready to play next, and she and Taylor Brandt, her violinist, also a friend of mine, they were saying about all these parts they had for it. So the next night when I played at the Tap Room, the two of them came over from another event that they were at, joined me for that and a couple other songs. And so when it came around time to record it, I was like, hey, Canyon, would you be interested in like
doing that,
singing on this.
Yeah, like, what you're doing. That's great.
Yeah. So the other two lead backing vocals, rather, are Caleb Brown, who's the violinist, and even on the song "Gold," which I realize it's his falsetto. So my wife asked me, like, is that Canyon on that one, or Claire, or whoever else did the vocals on that? And I was like, no, that's Caleb.
That's so great.
Which I told him, and he got a kick out of that too.
So you've got a whole cast of people who contributed to this, this EP. Is that how you like to do things? I mean, is that
that's what Vintage Heart is. It's my solo act that's not solo, is what I call it. It's, I mean, the only constant is if you book Matt Wheeler and Vintage Heart, I'm definitely going to be there.
But that's good.
But I mean, you might have, you know, the strings players, you might have, you know, me and, like, you know, percussion and bass. You could, I mean, we have all these different formations. So someone wants to jump in for a couple of shows. Like, we had a 6-piece band for the Indigo release show, which included Ben, who is the recording engineer, is also a fantastic bassist and guitarist. You know, people can jump in, and it can be just for a show or two, and that's fine. It's a collection of people who are, you know, just taking part.
Well, it's a lot of fun. I tell you what, let's hear the title track.
Absolutely.
From the new EP. This is a song, Indigo, from songwriter Matt Wheeler on Around the Wood Stove.
I'm in no weather for this lashing. Oh, oh, indigo. My mast is down, the sails are all around me. Oh, oh, indigo. Indigo. Sailing home, this wounded craft must hold.
Oh. I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Joining me on the program today is Lancaster singer-songwriter Matt Wheeler. Matt, you continue to do a tremendous amount of selfless work for this Lancaster music scene. I mean, you're always promoting shows, you bring bands in from out of town. You spread the news about other shows that other people are doing. You're a great evangelist, really, for this scene.
Thanks.
Where do you get all this energy on top of your own music?
Well, a lot of it springs from the fact that I'm a huge music fan, besides being a musician. And one of the really great perks of being a musician in my own right is that, and especially the last couple of years, I try to book shows like there were 2 or 3 acts on the bill. So a good part of the time, I get to be a fan as well.
Sure.
And so I get to know all these people. And when I see they're playing shows, you know, I just like to, you know, with social media, it's so easy to do. You know, if Jake Lewis is like, hey, we're playing Dipco, I can be like, hey, everybody, Jake Lewis is playing Dipco. And it takes me like 5 seconds to do. And I always appreciate when people return the favor as well. It also speaks to the community we have around Lancaster, just because, you know, it's not this competitive thing. It's like, you know, we have all these musicians who are doing all these cool things. It's like, you know, I'm excited about them, so I want other people to know as well. And I'm sort of a relentless networker too. When I go to shows, you know, I might enjoy the chatting after time and meeting people about as much as I do the actual music.
Right.
And I really enjoy the music too.
I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, building that community. I mean, it's all just, it's all one big thing. It's not just, you know, you go hear songs, then you leave.
Right.
It's like you get to know people.
Speaking of community. So one of the first Matt Wheeler produced shows that I saw was at the Community Room when it was on Prince Street,
yeah,
above Prince Street Cafe. Now that room has moved to that We now have Community on King.
Yeah.
Are you still involved with the Community Room? Are you still doing shows there?
I am. For one thing, every third Friday we host an open mic with a featured act. And they're generally local acts that come through. Although we did have Blind Man Leading, their lead man, Dave Wentz, up from Baltimore. But generally, they're Lancaster area folks. So yeah, I do that. And occasionally, like if I either, well, one of the things we have coming up, and it's going to be in March, the 29th, we're going to have a songwriters round there. It's going to be in conjunction with Lancaster Transplant. Canyon will be there.
Cool.
Claire Anthony from Baltimore area, and also Ben Rothermel, Lancaster zone, and myself will be, you know, swapping songs, collaborating, sharing stories at the Community Room. And even that collaboration came together just like, I'm friends with Jocelyn Park, one of the founders, and she was like, what are your event ideas? I'm like, it'd be super cool to do a songwriters round. She's like, that sounds excellent. What's that? And so we got it together. And like, it's nice to have that as a space. It's a really good, versatile space. And so I'm definitely still involved with that. And sort of informally, sort of a PR person for other places, like at this house concert series called The Green Room in Ephrata.
Uh-huh.
And some others. You know, I started making friends with musicians who are from out of town. And when they're like, I'm thinking of coming through town, you know, what do you know?
What is there? Yeah, and what can we do?
Yeah, that's how I met Dietrich Strauss from Boston and Sarah Blacker, also from that area, and numerous others. You know, like they'll just, you know, say, hey, do you have any connections around here? And I have this list that I send them. It's like, here's 10 different venues you can play, and, you know, I'd be happy to open for you. And it just all comes together. Like, I never intended to be an event planner, but somehow just my enthusiasm for music and the connections that I'm making all come together to make that happen.
Well, you know, not all musicians are social in that way.
Right.
You know, some musicians are introverted. They'd rather really not talk that much before or after shows, and they'd really rather not try to organize things. They're really more focused on the art. So if you have that skill and that mm-hmm. talent, you know, it's great that you use it. I mean, it's been a real gift to the community.
Yeah, it's a good place to use it too.
Yeah, I mean,
makes it easy.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's get back to the EP for a few minutes. I'd like to chat with you about the last song on the EP. This song is called River, and then parentheses, A Dark Chase.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is sort of the standout.
Yeah,
you know, when I get new records, I just sort of let it play.
Uh-huh.
I listen to it several times, and then I let the music sort of tell me what is the song that I'm most drawn to. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it just sort of fills the space. And this one is the one that I came back to a few times.
Yeah.
Tell me about this song. Let's dig into it a little bit.
Sure. Well, I seem to remember last time I was on Around the Wood Stove, I was telling you about a song called The Lark, which was based off of the book Les Miserables. I mentioned how over the course of a year and a half, I chipped away at and finished this giant novel. In fact, that one I wrote when I think you said I was about, you estimate I was about 20% of the way through. this one's from a little farther on in the book, but it is based off of Les Miserables as well. But it's a little more veiled. You don't have to know that much about the book to enjoy it. It's, for one thing, let me say, if you're ever in a library or bookstore and you see a copy of Les Miserables, just crack open the table of contents and take a look, because Victor Hugo has some seriously epic names for chapters. Like this one's from, the story this is about is from a chapter called A Dark Chase Requires a Silent Hound. It's like, that could be an emo band name. It's this, you know, it's like, whoa. And it's a pretty heavy, and, you know, it's a thriller of a chapter of the many, many chapters of this book. Anyway, basically, I took a little poetic license because there is not actually a river in that particular part of the story. I kind of combined a couple different parts together. Basically, in that one, Jean Valjean is fleeing Inspector Javert with Cosette. If you know anything about Les Miserables, you know who each of those characters are, and I won't take a huge amount of time to explain them. But basically, it's Jean Valjean talking to Javert. That's where the line, you know, in a different world, we could have been brothers. Like, you know, here you are chasing me down like a criminal, you know, even though, you know, I'm a totally changed man, you know, trying to protect this little girl who's basically my daughter. And, you know, but I realize that you're trying to do right. You know, I realize that you're doing your job.
Yeah.
but maybe with way too much zeal and you're not, you know, allowing any sort of grace into this. But, you know, and of course the chorus, you know, the should I run to the river? It was a piece by the river. It's kind of symbolic. So yeah, I mean that to me, that one feels like it's the strongest. I love the bridge part of it. The part where it cuts down to where basically it's just a lightly picked guitar and the violin. And it's like, wow, that's really nice. And then like, then you hear Canyon do the little vamping vocal part over top of that even. And it's like, wow, this just got even better. When I listen to the album, that's my favorite one to listen to as well.
We're going to have a listen to it here in a minute. But before we do that, let's just spend a minute on what you have coming up, what the future for Matt Wheeler is and how people can find you.
Sure. Okay. I'll keep it real concise with what's coming up. People can always find out from my website, mattwheeleraline.com. Click on shows. You can see where I'm going to be. Most of them are fairly local, although I am organizing a tour or two that are in progress. One's going to involve going to Portland, Maine, and also Boston. That'll be in May, but more immediately, it's going to be around here. It's going to be a Lancaster Transplant show.
Right.
That I was just mentioning. It's the one with the four songwriters. It's coming on the 29th of March.
Okay. Save the date.
Yeah. It'll be at the community room on King. I almost said on Prince because I got so used to calling it that, but on King. Yes. And, yeah, so that's what's coming up there. There's always the third Friday open mics at the community room on King. I generally am hosting unless I've got a gig elsewhere, which does happen sometimes. And yeah, other than that, I'm always open to ideas and
Facebook,
coming up with them. And
you're on Facebook, right?
Oh gosh, oh yes, I'm on Facebook. Yeah, I mean if you look and see this bearded guy in front of a red wall, it's pretty much me, or a bearded guy singing at World Cafe Live at the Queen. That's me. I'm on Twitter as well, Matt Wheeler VH for Vintage Art. If there's a social network and you're thinking of looking me up, you'll probably find me.
Sounds great. Well, thanks so much for what you do for the Lancaster music scene.
It's a pleasure.
And for taking some time to come down and talk with me about your music and what's going on. Here's River, A Dark Chase. This is Matt Wheeler on Around the Wood Stove. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
You treat me like a criminal, the ghost of some lonely soul, silent hound on a dark chase. Ooh. 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 Full moon splits these streets in two, light and the shade between me and you. In a different world, we could have been brothers. I'm a man acquainted with pain, crying out to the heavens again. Should I run to the river, run to the river? Run to the river, run to the river. Is there a beast by the river, beast by the river?
At the Wood Stove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Wood Stove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. Joining me on the program is a special bonus guest, Jamie Fuddy from The Fridge in Lancaster. We're here to talk about beer and music, because that's what you guys have going on at The Fridge. Welcome to the program. Let's start with, first of all, tell me about The Fridge. If I just rolled into Lancaster and somebody says, hey, you gonna go check out The Fridge? That could be kind of a, you know, I can assume a lot of things. Tell me what to expect.
Well, it's not really a bar. It's not really a restaurant. It's something kind of in between, more like a craft beer and pizza cafe.
Fascinating.
I often say kind of like a Starbucks, only a lot cooler.
Is this a unique concept, or are these do these types of places exist outside of Lancaster?
I think ours is the first one to actually incorporate all the elements that we do have. I mean, there's other bottle shops that are out there, but and some of them you can sit and maybe have a deli sandwich. I think ours is definitely the first one that I've been to.
Okay.
That incorporates the arts.
Tell me about the bottle shop. What do you mean by that?
Well, we have 500 beers to choose from, and you can mix and match a six-pack. You can take one, you can take seven. It doesn't, you know, the count doesn't matter. And that's the beauty of it, is exploring, you know, this new world of craft beer, and it's exploding right now. So
you're literally just selling bottles, and I can walk in off the street and buy individual bottles.
You can buy one bottle. Yeah, and we have 10 taps that are always rotating, and you can get a growler, you know, bring your own growler. We fill anybody's growler. We can buy one of ours, and you know, take one of the fine offerings that we have on tap.
So it's relatively new, right? When did you open?
2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in our third year now.
And what inspired you to open this place?
I'll admit it was a very self-serving mission.
Okay.
It really was. Kevin and I, my business partner, Kevin Brown, we're best friends, and we turned into craft beer geeks. And the beer that did that for us was Stone IPA, and we both had it at the same time. We both looked at each other and both heard angels. What is this? So you couldn't get that beer anywhere. Especially in Lancaster. So we had to travel outside of the market to Philadelphia, you know, go up to Allentown and get it. And the obsession to try to find that, and then it's kind of a slippery slope. Well, you know, you find out, well, if you like this one, you're going to like, you know, you're going to like Port Brewing Company, and then you're going to like Green Flash, and then it just keeps going and going.
So you guys just fell in love with the idea of getting craft beer that you couldn't really get.
Yeah, well, you couldn't get the variety here in Lancaster. So what we would do is travel out of town, and we would go to some distributors, which ironically, that's where we get our beer from now, these distributors. And I would buy three cases. Kevin would buy three cases, and we split them up. So we both would walk away with a little bit more variety than if we just went there by ourselves. So then we stumbled onto some bottle shops in the Philadelphia area, and like, okay, wow, this is really cool. And long story short, it was just a self-serving mission, and we did nothing more than create the kind of space, the kind of environment, the kind of feel that we would want to go to. You know,
that's awesome.
It's we wanted to go to a place that didn't have TVs and had really great music playing. We wanted to have a place that had you know, really great art up on the wall. The food, it's all fresh. It's all locally sourced, locally made, locally grown. A lot of the stuff that we do is in-house. So all we're doing is serving ourselves.
That's awesome. Well, part of the reason why I wanted to talk with you is because we focus on the arts, and it's about music. Mm-hmm. Because you started a concert series, which is, you know, it speaks to like what is going on in Lancaster and has been going on for many years now, and that's people who appreciate, love the arts. Whether it be fine art, music, performing arts, theater, whatever, opening doors and saying, we want to give you a platform, Mr. Artist Person, to do your thing and show your stuff. So you started this concert series called Music Mondays.
Yeah.
And it's become a wildly popular concert series on a Monday night in Lancaster with a full room. So tell me about, you know, what that entails and how you got it started.
I guess the way that we got it started was we started getting involved with the Series 42 Music Fridays.
Okay.
With Fritz Schroeder. And we kind of did a cross-promotional thing with him, just trying to give him a little bit more exposure. We wanted to be a part of it. Kevin and I love being a part of Lancaster in any way that we can, you know, dig our claws in a little bit deeper. You know, we're all for it. And that was one way, you know, for Kevin and I to do that. So that really sparked it. And I always wanted to have a venue, to be honest. I, growing up as a musician in and out of bands, having a great appreciation for the musicians, the work that they put in.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
So did you actually do concerts on Music Friday?
We didn't. We just sponsored them. Okay. We didn't hold them. We just they were at the Elks when Music Friday at the Elks Club. So what we would do is we had a special table where we just had we told the Elks, hey, buy this beer and charge this much, and you know this is you know we think that you're going to do really well. It'll draw more people. The people that are there are going to be happy,
yeah.
you know, to have maybe a little bit different beer selection. You know, something like a craft beer. There to enjoy, and we would just promote it on our Facebook and go to the shows and have a presence.
Nice,
and just kind of just be a part of it. So that kind of sparked the whole thing. Then I approached Fritz about helping us out with the Music Monday, and that thing going.
Unlike traditional venues where you say, "Well, we're a sort of a bar. Let's have music on Friday night." Yeah. Instead, you chose a night you're typically closed.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, we didn't want to push anybody away. We have a normal Friday and Saturday night crowd that comes in there, and they're not going there to look for live music. They're looking to actually almost escape a place that would have that. You know, we don't have live music on a Friday or Saturday night. We don't have TVs. It's, you know, which we hope, you know, cultivates more conversation, and just a different environment all around. So the Monday thing is, it was kind of a no brainer for us because we're not open. And, what we do is we open the doors at 6:30. The band start at 7:30. They usually play about 2 45-minute sets and we clean up and go home. It's an early night. So,
Tell me about some of the acts that you've had for this, you know, for these concerts.
Well, the Districts were the first band that we had.
Great way to start the series.
Yeah, and we're really proud of that. And I know that you know they've played many many places here in Lancaster, and they're doing really wonderful things. And I think all of Lancaster is very proud of them right now, including myself.
Absolutely.
So we had them, and really it was. It really feels good to me to have a young band like that come through our doors, especially one that's on the trajectory that they're on. Because we can get them early and hopefully, you know, put a little bit of money in their pockets and help them, you know, buy some new equipment or down payment towards a new van or something like that, or kickstart their Kickstarter.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, the local emerging acts is something that, you know, we're really fond of doing, but then also the national touring. We had J.P. Harris come in, and Joe Fletcher.
Okay,
that was a great one. We've had Scott Pemberton Trio from Portland, Oregon. So,
how are you booking these shows? Like, are these just bands that you're into, or are you getting help?
Well, Fritz helped out a lot in the beginning,
okay.
And you know, I didn't know anything about booking bands or talking to booking agents or anything like that. So I really kind of went by Fritz's guidance, you know, whatever he would say, here's a band that I think you might like. Would you tell me what you think? And initially last year when we started this, my thought was, well, if we can't get a band that we really believe in, that I like or Kevin likes, then we're just not going to do it. So we didn't do it every month.
Okay.
And, it, you know, it's only one Monday a month. And so that really gave us a lot of flexibility. You know, we're still not committed to anything. So the longer that we get went down that road, you know, I started reaching out to some bands on my own. Okay, you know what? I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And so now Fritz calls me up, says, hey, I think I got a guy, you know, for you that you might like, and he's looking for a Monday. Check him out. Tell me what you think. And I'll just say, yes, I think he's awesome. I think he'll do well here. Or, you know, it's just not what we're looking for, Fritz. So
that's cool. Do you have a favorite band or a favorite show that has happened?
Well, we had, we had J.P. Harris come up.
I'm not surprised that you're bringing him up when I say favorite.
Yeah, and it was really neat. There was one night that he was playing, I think, a Series 42 show at the Dipco. And in the middle of a set, he busted out an old banjo. He said, this is my show. I'm sick of being everybody's two-step dance band. I'm just going to do something a little bit different. And he just played some old-time music on this old banjo that he had made himself. And the room went silent. I got goosebumps and was just dumbfounded by what I was seeing. So after the show, I went up to JP and I said, told him all about the Music Monday and what we've been doing. We had quite a few under our belts and things were going well. And I said, I'd like to have you play the Fridge on a Music Monday, but I don't want you to do the honky tonk. I said, I want to see this. Yeah, let's do the old time thing. Just you solo. And he said, I'm there. He said, I don't care if there's five people there. He said, I'm there.
That's great.
So that was a really special night. And then Oliver Craven from Stray Bird sat in. And then Neil Presley also sat in on fiddle as well. Just for a few songs, those guys jumped in. But mainly, you know, it was JP's show, and it was just fantastic.
Wow, man, that's great. So these are ticketed shows, $15, or does it change?
Nope, they're all $15. And the thought process behind that, and Fritz and I really went back and forth on that, on how much to charge. Is it too much? Is it not enough? And what we, the two of us really together, came up with is at that price point, it's a really nice payday, for bands.
Absolutely. You know, on a Monday night.
Yeah. If you're selling 40 to 50, you know, or even more, you know, 55 tickets, that's a really nice, offering for a Monday. But also at that price point, you can get some really good talent coming through nationally. And my other thought is if there's somebody really big comes through and I have an opportunity, if I have to bump it to 20, well, it's not all that.
It's not a big jump.
It's
right?
not a big jump. People, we're not going from like 10 to 20,
right?
To get a bigger name. So I'm going for some bigger names right now.
Yeah. And I know you're doing really well with it. It's a wonderful environment. And so anybody who's interested in checking these shows out, this is not a, you know, distraction filled, you know, bar with the sports on the TV and things clanging around. I mean, they're intimate shows in a very intimate space with awesome beer, awesome food. So, you know, I think it's definitely worth it on a night out to see some really top-notch, you know, talent. And it really speaks to what's happening in this town. I mean, it's just another piece of the puzzle of what Lancaster has become, and it's really cool that you guys are doing this.
Oh, thank you. It's exciting. Lancaster is exciting right now.
It's awesome.
It's turning into the town that I've always wanted it to be, you know, where I can go. Last night I was at TELUS 360, and I saw T. Hardy Morris, and who opened up for him was the Levee Drivers, who we had two Mondays ago at our Music Monday. And they're two of my favorite bands. And here I am on a Sunday night, you know, it's a snowy night, just seeing some awesome live music right. at an awesome venue. So I'm loving Lancaster right now.
Good things are happening around here. How can people find out about, first of all, the Fridge generally, and then how do people find out about these shows if they want to get tickets?
Definitely our Facebook. We have a lot of people following us on Facebook. We always create an event tab for that, and our website as well.
What's that website address?
It's beerfridgelancaster.com.
Beerfridgelancaster.com. Thanks so much for stopping down and spending a few minutes to talk about this.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for all that you're doing on your end as far as promoting shows and promoting Lancaster and keeping the house concerts going too.
It's our pleasure. Yeah. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Thank you.
You can find out more about today's program by visiting the show post at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced by the Wood Stove House and Triforce Studios in Lancaster, PA. Check out Triforce online at triforceproaudio.com and find us online at woodstovehouse.com.